it's a brand new week. Are you anticipating great things or just trying to muddle through?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Monday, Monday, so good to me.
And I do welcome you to the Monday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Well, it's an exciting week ahead. Look, I know what it's like. I remember those days years ago when I used to have to get up at 3:30 in the morning. Whether it was raining, cold, or miserable, I had to get out of bed and get on my way to do the morning radio program. I remember doing that in some pretty lousy weather. I'm the guy that got to work to tell you to stay home because the roads are too bad. I remember those days well. I can remember some weeks it was just like, man, is it another week? The weekend wasn't long enough. And there were times in my life that I did kind of dread my job. But as I've gotten older and I've taken on certain what I think are vital responsibilities, for me, each new week is both a challenge and an opportunity, and I'm thankful for another week to have. It's so easy to take it for granted. I know when I started this program a little over 4 years ago, my health was good. I was concerned about what was going on with COVID and everything else, the election upcoming. We had a lot of discussions about that on the program, and I would get up each week. Some weeks, I'll admit, it was hard to do a radio program each and every day, and it still can be. Then I faced that health challenge that started really big time in 2022. Took forever to get to a decent doctor and a specialist. And for almost 2 years now, we've been battling bladder cancer, and we're still here. And so that makes me ever more thankful for the time that God has given me. Instead of dreading a Monday morning, oh yeah, I'm retired, but I keep myself busy. Instead of dreading Mondays, it's a new opportunity to get things done. I do the best each and every week to do this radio program, to prepare for my church, to be able to preach, to lead the worship service, to get all the things together, and then to do the research for this. And that's not bad for a guy that's going to turn 70 in a little less than a month from now. And I'm also thankful for you, my audience, that is with me each and every day, that has supported this program from the very beginning. Now, see, this week's going to be a week of busyness and opportunity. It's also the first week in a long time that I haven't had to deal with immunotherapy sessions that pretty much knocked me out Thursday and Friday and well into Saturday. And I sometimes wonder if I'll make it to church on Sunday. Then I have the next 3 days, literally Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, to produce radio shows. And honestly, I was getting behind because it was so hard to keep up. But now I don't have those therapy sessions for a while. There's nothing scheduled for a while. No surgeries, no investigations yet. And I'm going to use this time that God has given me because there's a lot of work to be done. And so I want to start on a positive note. I have some stories you have got to hear. Believe me, you need to hear the news stories that I've got laid out. You're not going to find most of these stories, Newsmax, Fox News, anywhere. You're just not going to find them. But they are extremely vital, and you need to hear them because it gives you a true idea of what's going on in the background and under the surface. You're being gaslighted not just by the leftist in this world, but even some of the rhinos and so-called conservatives that try to sweep things under the rug. And we're going to share a little bit about that. I've called it the controlled opposition for a reason for a long time. That certain well-paid conservative news personalities, and I mean really well-paid, they become the spokesperson for everything from buy gold to whatever hedge fund or whatever they're selling today. They make their Mega Millions and they talk within the confines of what their corporate masters and paycheck writers let them do. And if you ever stray outside of that, you're out of a job. We watched that happen over the last year or so. So doing this kind of a program is never easy. And you also have to be careful because there's a lot of organizations out there, I've told you before, that'll try to, you know, put some not so true stuff out there that conservatives and Christians grab onto and then spread like wildfire. Well, truly it is misinformation. And the whole idea is just to take away any of your credibility. This is all a very carefully crafted operation and even psychop, to be quite honest. I want to share stories today about what's happening in schools, even in conservative school districts. I've got a story, and I've got an audio track of a video put out by someone that was running for school board in their part of Ohio. You need to hear. And the language is not really that rough, but you know, I wouldn't want to be playing it for anybody under the age of 13 or 14, but you need to hear it. And burying this doesn't make it go away. The truth is that we have some serious issues in our nation that have got to be discussed. Now, on a positive note, a lot happened last week I didn't have a chance to talk about, and it all came together at the last minute. Then we were heading out to go to North Carolina for an ordination, and I just didn't have the time to give you an update on what is happening with the local radio station here in the Chilhowie, Virginia area. Now, this is not going to be some mega-powered radio station. It's an FM. It is non-commercial. It is not very powerful, but it covers our community. And yes, it is fully licensed. It's not any kind of a pirate operation, believe me. The transmitter, the antenna, and the transmission line and other accessories have been ordered, and they arrive this week. And so beginning this week, I start to assemble this radio station. I've got a lot of work to do to get the music ready and everything else. So it's going to be a few more weeks, but I had a prayer about a week and a half ago. And I didn't know how we were going to pull this thing together. I just didn't. And I'm going, Lord, I don't have the funds. My little church can't afford to do this. Lord, I got to put this together. And the way to do it came together quickly. And it's a bit of a risk, but I just believe it needs to be taken. And now I said, Lord, I'd love to have this radio station on the air by my birthday, which is October the 16th. It will be on the air by October the 16th, next month. We'll actually be doing some testing within about 10 days or less. So I'm getting kind of excited. It's like I say, the station doesn't cover but, you know, about 5 to 7 miles. But that's plenty for our immediate region. But it will also be online for those of you that would like to listen to a more traditional sounding Christian radio station. There's plenty of the mass marketed music, plenty of the big hits and the stuff that's owned. And I've shared this story. I'm going to share it again in case you didn't hear it the first time. A friend of mine has been in radio, and in particular Christian radio, for about almost 40 years, maybe a little longer. And a couple of years ago, he was sharing a story with me. To this day, he's never told me the name of the group because the group... he promised them he would never reveal the name so it would never accidentally even get out. But he knew this well-known Christian group that had been around for about 20 some odd years. And he says, if you heard the name, you'd know it. I'll put it that way. And he's known him for a long time. And they had signed up years ago with some Christian record label, and everything was fine. They would record their record albums, cassettes, you know, CDs, whatever, you know, these days. And they would do their concert tours every year. And they were truly a Christian group. They were not getting wealthy by any stretch of the imagination. It was more ministry for them than trying to be some kind of marketed music for a big profit. But like other Christian record labels, they eventually got bought out and were purchased by a secular record label. You know, a lot of those record labels that we knew 30, 40, 50 years ago that put out Christian music, they're no longer owned by Christians. They're owned by the secular world. Sony Entertainment comes to mind, among others. And a lot of these artists that used to be, shall we say, very committed in what they sang and in their message were being told because they had contracts. They were bound by contracts that are now owned by these companies. And these companies would tell them, you have to make so many record albums over the next so many years, but we're telling you now to stop using the name Jesus in any of your music. We don't want any of that. Well, you know, you can talk about him, you can talk about love, you can talk about us, and you can talk about your feelings, but don't talk about salvation. Don't talk about the cross. Don't talk about Jesus. And for goodness sake, don't do anything that would sound overtly Christian. We want your music to be playable on both secular and contemporary Christian radio stations. In other words, there's no message. It's minimal and not offensive. And so much of the music that is out there today has a control factor. And then you have a lot that have just decided that, you know, Christianity is a theater. Church is a theater. We go to be entertained and to feel good about ourselves. And we don't have any burdens. We don't have any responsibilities because, hey, you know, it's all about life and how we feel today. And so as I continue to do this radio program and the radio station and some other things that are in front of me, I'm always mindful. I'm always mindful that I'm, in essence, having to compete with the world, and the world is trying to give you a counterfeit Christianity. I have a story that I'll share sometime in the program today to give you an example of how the world has gotten an influence into preaching in some of the megachurches and the superstars. And what I want you to understand, my wife has summed it up quite well. You know, it's 95% good stuff with 5% poison. And that 5% poison is sufficient to kill, destroy, or just the whole message. It's buried in there and you don't see it. It's like baiting a trap. You jump in and you don't realize that you've been poisoned in the process. And I'll share that story as well. There's something else I'm praying about. Don't know how it's going to come together. I'll find out maybe little bits more this week and in the next. I see opportunity. I know some people in other parts of, you know, down in Florida where we also have a home. And I'm realizing we need... Look, there's a lot of Christian media out there. Let's come right out and say there's tons of Christian media, tons of videos, tons of this, tons of that, and even teaching programs. But there's not what I call the low profile. And what I mean by that is, you know, it's one thing to be a big superstar teacher and you're on every Christian radio station in the country and you've got a big following and you've got a substantial bank account. But when things change, you're in a world of hurt. And if things change with radio, you may not have that outlet. And so what I'm trying to put together is kind of a low-key operation of producing materials that can be distributed among Christians to give them solid teaching, preaching, and even music and whatever they would need in their homes the next time we are shut down and locked down. And they'll find a reason. Maybe it's going to be COVID part two for all I know. Monkeypox, climate change, whatever. I believe even if we get a respite this year and we get a couple of years, I'm just looking at this opportunity that may come. And I want to use that time wisely because I believe the day is coming that big churches may be in big trouble. And apostate churches will thankfully come to an end. But a lot of Bible-believing churches are going to find out how many people are not Bible-believing inside their four walls. And these are the things that are on the back of my mind each and every day when I come to do this radio program. I'm trying to get to this first story here, but I'm sharing from the heart, and I think you need to hear this stuff. This is just a little radio program. I air a few times on a couple of shortwave stations. It is out there as a podcast. I'm not some superstar. I'm not on the air around the clock. I'm not on 500 radio stations across the country like a Rush Limbaugh was or anybody else. I'm just a little voice crying out in the wilderness sometimes, wondering if we're going to make it through another week or another month. So far, by God's grace and your help, we have. And then I worry about, I shouldn't say, that's a bad word. I'm concerned about my health. Will I be able to see all these projects through? And so far, so good. And God has been merciful. And I feel great today. I really do. Used to have a friend. Remember, we started with the theme Monday. Had a guy that I knew. And this is back even, this has got to be like 30, 40 years ago. And he had this expression. This is the Mondayest Monday that I've ever had to go through a Monday with. And you know, just some Mondays are harder than others. And I get it. But as I've gotten older, I'm thankful for every Saturday and Sunday and the time of worship. And I'm thankful that each Monday I get an opportunity to do more over and over again. Now, just a couple of quick thoughts, and I'm going to get to a story here. I was thinking about last week's, you know, incredibly mundane debate. I mean, it was nothing spectacular about it at all. It was very predictable. Kamala Harris was well-versed, well-trained, and I still think that she knew the questions that were going to be asked. Or at least her campaign suggested to ABC the questions they should ask. I'm just going to say, I'm going to leave it there. I don't trust the media because they've gaslit, they've lied, and they know they lie and they don't care. Integrity in journalism died years ago. It's a stinking corpse. I mean, ABC News is not a newscast anymore. It's a propaganda outlet. So is NBC and CBS. And you know, the way you handle that, ABC News for television relies on their local affiliates. And the local affiliates rely on advertising, and their biggest income for most local TV stations is their local news. And if ownership knows that, you know, I used to watch your news on WLOS-TV in Asheville, you know, Channel 13, ABC, but you want to know something? I'm not watching your news anymore because you're carrying liars. And they'll argue with you. No, they're journalists. No, they're not. They said, well, I don't care what you think. I'm not watching, and I'll let your advertisers know I am not watching and I'm not going to buy in their stores or their shops or their car lots. If you want to affect change, just tell people you're no longer participating in their silly game and you're no longer going to believe their lies and you're going to let others know that I don't take time to put up with liars. That's how you affect change. I'm thinking with this little radio station, I've got thousands of songs to go through and some I'm not going to play, not because they're theologically bad, but, you know, maybe the audio or technical quality is just not good. I want to have this, I want to have a unique sound that nobody has, but I want the message in the music to be Christ-honoring, Christ-centered, and biblically sound. I don't need to try to appease some record label that is sending out free music. I don't need to be trying to market something so churches can spend a lot of money on more music that's new and different. All I want to do is serve my Lord and share truth to ponder. And that's what we've been doing. And so here on this Monday, we have a whole new set of opportunities and a whole new set of things to talk about. And one thing I'm going to talk about this week, and it's going to be important, is how we look at our education system, particularly our public education system. I'm going to share with you the audio of a video put out by a woman in Ohio near Akron, Ohio. Now, I'm trying to determine the exact date that this was recorded. I'm doing my best. I know the sourcing is accurate, and I know the message is right on target, as I've done a little investigation. And if I can get everything put together, I'd even like to get this person as a guest and get you the background and where things stand today. There's an area near Akron, Ohio, and I spent time in that region at one point, and I can tell you that there are some conservative areas in and around Akron, Ohio. And I was looking the other day to give you an idea of how things can change in a dime. There is a community that used to be where a lot of the folks from the Cathedral Quartet lived, if you've ever heard of them. You get near Massillon and Stowe and other towns not far from Akron. These were just, you know, suburbs. Saw a news story that came out not that long ago from that area. And Democrats had taken over a city council. And I'm going, how could that happen in this one town that was out there? And then I looked at it. It's a town of many thousands, but the mayor won with 156 votes, not by a margin, but with just 156 votes, and someone else had 82. Only 300 people out of mega thousands bothered to vote in a city election. And I'm thinking, okay, so an entire city got taken over by the woke left. If that can happen in a mayor's race, think about how bad it is in a school board race. Because most people, including many Christians, are too lazy to go vote. And they probably couldn't even tell you who's on the school board and what those school board members stand for. It just goes on, and they really don't care. But this woman, and I'll just come out and say she's a woman of color, but boy, she makes some sense. And listen to how she starts this video that she put out to warn parents.
Parents, this video is for you. It is imperative that we pay attention to what is going on in our schools. I got a permission slip recently from my daughter's school, and we live in a fairly conservative area next to Akron, Ohio. The permission slip was for her to attend health class. Mind you, she is in fifth grade. It had the syllabus on there and a link to show you what material she will be learning. I did some research, and you will be astounded, oh my gosh, blown away by what they are trying to teach my fifth grader. Watch this video. It is absolutely disgusting.
Now, let me pause right here, and it's obvious that I can't show you the video on radio, but I certainly can play you the audio track of that video. And I want you to listen carefully to what is being said. Now, this is a video being produced, as she said, for fifth graders. That's people that are like, you know, 10 years old. 10-year-olds. And this is what a public school in a so-called conservative region near Akron, Ohio, thinks is a good idea for your children to be watching and learning from. And I'm going to warn you that I listen to this and I'm going, do I really want to play this? It's nothing obscene, but it's just like, you got to be kidding. And after giving it some thought, yeah, you as a parent, a grandparent, maybe a great grandparent, somebody that lives in a town, maybe you need to know what's going on in your school district. And don't tell me that everything's fine in your school district. You may be surprised. And I'll be sharing a little bit more about that on the other side of the break when we get there. But for the moment, this is an actual video, part of a health class that they want to teach to kids that are like 9 and 10 years of age. Listen and learn.
Yes, yes, come on, yes, oh yes. Aha! What are you doing there? You've had an apple one day. You'll go blind.
I'm coming!
How many times is too many to masturbate in one day?
Hashtag Ask Amaze!
There's no limit on the number of times a person can masturbate each day.
I have another question.
Sometimes my penis stands up in the air, and it feels good when I touch it.
When your penis stands up, it's called an erection. Girls also have a private part that they may want to touch because it feels nice, the clitoris. It's okay.
Mind you, I'm reminding you, the video is for fifth graders. And we on the right are saying that the left is trying to over-sexualize our children. This is exactly what we're talking about. And they want to gaslight us and pretend that it's not happening. In what world does a fifth grader need to learn how to masturbate? Now, this is just the beginning. They start in fifth grade and they work their way up. Here are just some of the videos that are on this Amaze website. I encourage you to go check them out yourself. This is not the only website that they will use to teach our children as well. The sad part is, in order to get federal funding, they have to do these programs.
When you're born, your sex is assigned in a medical way, but the sex listed on your birth certificate may not necessarily match your gender identity.
Gender identity is a person's inner experience of who they are in terms of gender, their deep personal sense of being male, female, a blend of both, or neither.
And while many people have a gender identity that's the same as their assigned birth sex of female or male, that's not always the case, because gender exists on a spectrum. Like transgender, which means a person whose gender identity is not consistent with their assigned birth sex. Non-binary, which means a person whose identity doesn't fall in the category of either male or female. And genderqueer, or gender fluid, which means a person who does not identify themselves as having a specific gender at all.
Does gender identity have to do with being straight or gay?
Actually, no. Gender identity has to do with the way you feel about yourself, while sexual orientation is based on the way you feel toward others, the people.
Luckily, in Ohio, you can opt out. I don't know about other states. You'll have to dig into that further. I found on Ohio Protects Children a opt-out form. So this form I sent to my principal and assistant principal. They got back to me and said that my daughter will not be attending any health classes whatsoever. Now, mind you, I'll have to do this every single year, every single grade, but I don't mind. The only thing that sucks is I know that other students are going to attend this class, and maybe my daughter will ask them, well, what was the class about? So inevitably, I can't keep her from this because of the public school system. And this reason alone is why I am running for school board in Ohio this upcoming election.
And I will try to do some follow-up on this individual. And really, if I can figure it all out, I'd like to even have her as a guest here on Truth to Ponder. Let me make something clear. This is happening all over the United States. This is not something happening in just San Francisco or New York City or Washington, D.C. or Loudoun County, Virginia, or maybe Hotlanta, Georgia. No, this is creeping into schools nationwide. And she explained why. It comes with the federal money from the Federal Department of Education. And they tote out this carrot and stick. Hey, teach this course and we'll send you money. Money, money, money. Yeah, the love of money. Not money. The love of money is the root of all evil. And these school boards love that money. They love their tax money. They love their state money. And they even love that federal money. And hey, and understand something. And I saw this in small town America already. I've seen it firsthand over the past 10 or 15 years. Communities where you'd think that the leadership in education, you know, the school administrators in these school districts, they graduate from these colleges that have been taken over by the left over the past 30 to 50 years. And they come out voting Democrat, thinking that transgenderism is normal. That, you know, understanding of a student's gay when he's, you know, in the fifth grade is normal, or even the first grade. And these are the people that are taking the positions of leadership. And then when you don't know who's running for school board and you're not asking the right questions, or if you're not running yourself, this is what you get. I saw a story that really kind of brings it home. And this actually happened in South Carolina. One of those states where things like this are never supposed to happen. you know, in South Carolina, a reliably red state, and everybody's conservative outside of maybe Charleston or something. South Carolina dad David Warner is afraid to tell his sixth grade son that he will have to leave his school, teachers, and friends because the state Supreme Court in South Carolina struck down the Palmetto State School Voucher Program. And he said it was like a kick in the stomach. The Warner family was using an educational savings account to send their son to a private and Christian school this year. But the South Carolina Supreme Court on Wednesday of last week decided that the school choice law that enabled low-income parents to use education savings accounts to send their children to private schools can't do it. It's over. We don't like it. So the Warner family will have to send their son back to a public school in the middle of the first semester of school. In South Carolina, your Supreme Court is not as conservative as you think. Your state government is nowhere near conservative as you may believe. And you're going to find out that some of those Republicans running for office in South Carolina are not as conservative as they claim to be. They're liars. They're opportunists. I saw it firsthand in a county that I lived in. And what a bunch of phonies and frauds these people were. Oh, good Republicans. Oh, yes, we are such fiscal conservatives. And one of the individuals is spending 20 years in prison right now. He ran a phony and fake precious metals company called, I think, Atlantic Bullion and Coin. And he was, you know, doing these seminars all over the upstate of South Carolina back in the 90s and early 2000s and all the way up through 2010 and 11. And he was selling people this idea of, you know, buying silver because silver's cheap. And you get these certificates for silver. And he had this very secure vault in Maryland. And so people, now remember, he was on the county commission in his county. He had a fine home and he had his nice storefront and he's, like I say, he's making the rounds. And to all the religious people and the church people and the conservative people of the Republican parties in South Carolina and that part of the world thought he was just the most wonderful guy. Ron Wilson. What a great guy. Just good old Ron. And Ron's going to help you invest your retirement money and make it secure. And he's saying all the right things about how bad the Federal Reserve is. Ron never bought the silver. It was a Ponzi scheme. If somebody was, you know, buying out, he would take some money to buy that person out. And eventually the scheme collapsed and $39 or $38 million went missing. Where did it go? I know a person, a news reporter that is a smart guy that lost his entire life savings. I know other conservative church-going people that believe this clown and lost everything. And they'll never see it. It's gone. There was never any silver and there was never any vault in Maryland. None of it. He lied. He knew how to play the game. So you got to be cautious. You got to know where people really stand. There was something about the guy when I met him years ago that just didn't feel right. And I would tell people, I don't know what it is, but I don't trust this clown. I just don't. And my heart, my instincts were correct. And a lot of others that ran for office in their county council, I also felt that they were fakes. I still do. And the handful of real conservatives were getting condemned and mocked in the newspaper and by other so-called Republicans. And they're the same kind of state Republicans that allow this kind of stuff to happen in education. So here, you got a father that would love to have his son in school. He said, I dread this conversation when I have to tell him we have to go back and you're going to have to leave all your new friends that you've met. I'm going to have to sit down and tell you this isn't going to work out. And not because of anything you did, but your dad just doesn't have the money to pay for this. Funny, we get a gun put to our head to take money. Now, we'll take your house away. because you have to pay the public school tax to have this public indoctrination. It's time you get out there and find out who's on your school board. The only reason they're there is you allowed them. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster signed this Education Saving Trust Fund Act in 2023, and 5,000 students were able to apply right away for scholarships worth about $6,000 apiece. Now we're finding out in the 3-2 ruling, you got three leftist lunatics on the South Carolina Supreme Court that don't care about your children. And trust me, and I'll explain in a moment, this has nothing to do with separation of church and state. That, my friend, is one of the biggest lies being told today. This separation of church and state nonsense. You're being gaslit and lied to. And we will be right back.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
As Truth to Ponder begins its fifth year of ministry, we enter a new era of programs and purpose. Since our inception in the summer of 2020, we have endeavored to bring you accurate and vital news and information. We have worked diligently to expose the political bias and the many lies being told by mainstream media, government officials, social media, and tech giants. Many of the stories we have shared over the past 4 years were once labeled as conspiracy theories. Today, those stories have proven true. Did those who lied to you ever apologize or acknowledge their lies? The answer is obvious. They haven't, and they won't. We are now entering one of the most critical times in the history of our world. Artificial intelligence can monitor much of what we do and say online and report it to both the government and private corporations. Artificial intelligence can create false but convincing propaganda narratives in all forms of media at lightning speed, including video and audio. Sorting truth from propaganda is getting harder to do each day. As part of our new emphasis in these historic times, Truth to Ponder will be partnering with other ministries and news sources to increase the amount of factual and needed information you must have in these troublesome times. To meet this challenge, we will vastly increase our efforts to put all of today's events and news stories in the light of God's world. We will be developing study resources and a platform that does not depend on the internet for delivery. We also pray to increase our radio footprint throughout North America and beyond. To meet this new challenge and to grow, we need your prayerful support now more than ever. Would you let others know about this program? Would you be a monthly partner with us? If you can, visit our website at truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. At our website, you can find out how to support us using Give, Send, Go, a Christian online donation processing organization. That website again, truth2ponder.com. You can also support us by making a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. That's Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, spelled C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowee, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319. May God richly bless you as you help us spread the truth the world needs to hear.
Before we get back to the news, how about something to give you a little bit of encouragement today?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
When I should feel so sad, why does my heart feel so glad? Why does my soul feel so happy and gay? When my I'm not worried at all.
And you want to know something? I make no apology at all for taking a few minutes of this program to share that with you. I think that every once in a while we need some encouragement. We're filled with all this bad news around us. Conservative news in particular, they love the bad news. It's really bad out there. You really need to buy silver and gold. You need to do this. You need to listen to that guy. You need to buy prepper food today. You need at least 25 years of prepper food to survive. And you have entire ministries that have dedicated themselves to preparing you to go through things that God has promised to take you through. A couple of things that Jesus said. We can find this in the book of Matthew chapter 6. He goes, therefore, this is at verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye should put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much more better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why not take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which to this day is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Now listen to these words, my friend, O ye of little faith. And that describes far too many Christians today. O ye of little faith. Yeah, and the Lord my shepherd says the psalm, but just in case, Lord, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, do this. Just in case you don't come through. See, there's one of the problems that I'm realizing. Look, there's a difference between wise and being obsessive. The parable of the 10 virgins, a good example. Take a little extra oil. You don't know exactly how late the bridegroom is going to be. That's using common sense. You don't bring an oil truck with you to be ready for the next 30 years for your lamp. But you just don't assume you got enough. You take care of the needs. You know, there's enough things to do today. So as Jesus says, after he tells his disciples, and you and I, O ye of little faith, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all those things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So when I listen to these conservatives saying, you know, hey, we've got everything you need to survive the next 7 to 10 years of the apocalypse, trust me. Or some ministry, we got it all figured out, and we're having a 2-for-1 sale or some nonsense like that. You know, I have to worry. I have to wonder about these people. Are they really believing in God? Do they really have faith in Jesus Christ? Or do they have kind of a faith and they're using that faith? Let me tell you a little story. I didn't think I was going to get into this, but Lord is just laying this on my heart. In the book of Acts, there was a magician by the name of Simeon. And the story is pretty simple. Simeon was observing some of the miracles that these disciples of Jesus were doing after Pentecost. The blind were seeing, the lame were walking. The deaf could hear and the blind could see. And Simeon goes up to the apostles and says, you know, okay, how much would it cost me to buy this power that you have? I'm a magician, but I can't do that. If I could buy that power, man, I could make a huge good living. And he was pretty much rebuked. That's where the term simeism comes from in theology. You can't buy this power of God to use it for your own personal gain. A lot of faith preachers out there were pulling that silly nonsense, and they were frauds. There was one in particular. He had a little device in he could hear, like a hearing aid buried in his ear. And his wife behind stage is telling him what this individual has, you know, for a disease. Because people would fill out a form and then they knew where they were sitting. And he'd walk up and the wife would say, go to the woman with the, you know, the green dress and the whatever and the dark hair in a bun. And she's got, you know, who knows, lumbago. I don't know. But he would come up. Ma'am, the Lord has just told me you've got lumbago and I want to heal you. And you know, and they're making a ton of money. And this is simiism. This is forbidden in the scripture. And these clowns, they're out there all the time. They're still there today. The Bible says, beware of the wolves in sheep's clothing. And there are a lot of them. They do a really good job. And they do well for themselves. Let's go back earlier in the book of Matthew as I'm reading from Matthew 6. And I want to read just a couple of other verses, three verses in particular. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And then most important, and this is what encourages me every day when I do this radio program. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in mammon, or in other words, you can't serve God in money. And when I see these ministries and these clowns running around that God said I need to buy myself a new $55 million aircraft and they're flying around and they're saying, you know, send money to me and you're starving and, you know, what are they doing? They're selling you prosperity gospel that's a false gospel that is not the gospel. So I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you, don't be really careful out there. I mean, I do this program and I pastor my little church. I'm not even paid to do either one. But I'm happy that God sees fit to call me to do this each and every day. If I was still, quote, gainfully employed like I was before I retired, I would probably not be able to do this. But God has given us a modest but sufficient retirement. Now, I want to finish this story from South Carolina. I'm going to just really go through this quickly. This voucher program we were talking about that just disappeared because of the phony, fake, fraudulent Supreme Court in South Carolina. And it's not a separation of church and state. Remember, the churches were doing the teaching from the beginning of this country when the founding fathers were alive and well, all the way until sometime in the 1900s when the leftists took over the schools. And so now, you know, the schools are public and we tax you and you have to pay for it or you lose your house. I mean, it's pretty severe stuff. And this voucher program benefited low-income families. So if you don't make a whole lot of money, in this case, the household made under 40 grand a year, and they can't afford a private school, so their kid can no longer go to a private school. They got to go to a second-rate, third-rate, or, you know, failing public school now, which they're paying for with their own money. And Warner said his son was much happier in private school, where the day started with Bible classes and prayer. He didn't have to worry about explicit, strange, and weird books that he was finding in the school's public library. But see, now he's back with the evil, dark, woke people that have taken over education. You know, what I'm going to say, and then I'm going to get to another story here. This is why I believe, look, I know that many churches can't start a school. That's an expensive proposition. You probably don't have the resources. But if you band together and you can put together a homeschool co-op, you remember I was talking about the kind of ministry I want to use, some space that may be available down in Florida to work with people that can make this material? This would be an interactive homeschool course that would be virtually, you know, whatever you can give to support it. I want everybody to have a good opportunity for a good education, and I want them to have a Christian education. I'm the benefactor of being able to go to a Christian school that never threw anybody out because the parents didn't have the money for the tuition. It was a different time, I know. We as a church, and I don't want to hear the one, well, our church is too poor, Bob, we can't do that. Well, then shut it down. Shut it down. You're not believing what God can do for you. I mean, I'm getting sick and tired of we ain't got the money. That's because you're probably not tithing. I'm just telling you, look, check your numbers. I remember, I'll tell you a true story. It got me almost in trouble, but it worked out. One Sunday, something just said to say this, and this is at a growing church in Florida. And I said, you know, I'm beginning to think I need to bring social services and everybody else into this building because based upon the giving, it looks like about everybody here is way below the poverty level and you probably qualify for food stamps and housing assistance based on tithing. They got the message. I didn't have to ever preach again about it. And maybe that's the message. Look, you're willing to invest in your house and in your car and your stereo system and all kind of stuff and your iPhones, but what do you give to your church? Do you really care about the kids? Listen, I have this story that I did want to share with you, but I really don't have the time today. I'll push it off maybe till tomorrow or Wednesday. It's a story you need to hear that shows how some leaven can get into the church. Like I mentioned before, my wife's analogy is, it's like having 95% good stuff and you put 5% deadly poison in it. And that turns the whole thing poison. Or as the Bible teaches, you know, the leaven begins to get through the whole loaf. You need to decide what is important in your life. I do a radio program and we spend a lot of time doing news and an observation about the world in which we live in. And in a way, you could consider this program kind of like an end times countdown program, but I don't want to call it that. We know that the day is going to come that Jesus will return for his own. We know that for a fact. But I don't know when that day or hour is, and that's why I don't get too deep into it, because too many people start date setting. I can remember a ministry one time invited this prophetess on, and she was literally date setting. And they brought her back again as a guest. And I knew that I couldn't work for this place. You can't do that. Can't have a person saying that Jesus told me you have to prepare by no later than the end of August or it's everlastingly too late. That was 2015. I think we're now in September of 2024, 9 years later. I guess she was wrong. But we put so much stock in these people. Why? I'll pick up on this tomorrow. Something tells me we need to have a change of direction, a change in the way you look at your church, your faith, the world in which you live. We are in this world, but we are not of it. Now, I'm just going to ask you, would you consider investing in this ministry real quick? If you believe in the mission and ministry of Truth to Ponder, visit our website. You can support us there using Give, Send, Go, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319. And we thank you in advance for your support.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, Truth, the number 2, and the word ponder.com. That's Truth, the number 2, ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.